21st, it's Food Friday. Cooking for ourselves and others can do a lot more than just feed us during tough times. It can give us a sense of stability and togetherness. And even as the current pandemic might limit our options in the kitchen at any given time, we can use what we have to make delicious meals to share with our family and keep our spirits up. Chef, restaurateur, and author Lydia Bastianich has embodied those ideals in decades of cooking. She shares her knowledge of Italian food on public television's Emmy-winning Lydia's Kitchen, running for more than 20 years now. And she's our guest on this week's edition of Food Friday. Lydia, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It sounds like you're spending a lot of time at home, like the rest of us these days, to say stay safe. I do want to ask, how are you and your family holding up?
Yes, I guess I am at home like everybody else. I live with my mother, who's 99, so it's her and I. My daughter lives a block away, so that she's not too far, and we drop off food and we see each other occasionally. But basically, it is, you know, staying at home and kind of trying to, in my case, you know, I am grateful almost to be with my mother, who's 99, I really cherish this extra time that I'm having with her.
Yeah, it's extra time, though, in a place where some people might be fearful. Certainly, we don't know a whole lot. Things are uncertain. In times like this, what can cooking do for us beyond giving us something to eat, nourishing our bodies?
Well, you know, food and eating is nurturing. It is life. It's keeping us alive. So it's positive. Eating, cooking, feeding, nurturing, sharing, these are all positive things. Looking forward to life, living forward to living, looking forward to socializing with family, with friends through food. So food is positive at the basis, you know, for every culture, not just, you know, every single culture, food is at the basis. So being in the kitchen, just the smells, the aromas of, you know, for us Italians, the garlic, the tomatoes, and all of the basil, just sets a better mood, sets you positive. You know that life will continue, you know, that life goes on. And it sort of sets you in a stronger mood to accept, to face, and to deal with what today brings. Those time at the table, I know with my mother, you know, starting from breakfast to lunch to then a snack at dinner, those are important times where we sit down, and it's time that we have with ourselves, and it's positive. We are eating because we are alive and because we're going to go on and because we're going to want to be strong. So food is a medium that has always been, you know, at the basis of staying alive, nurturing, and now it's more important than ever that people are getting in the kitchen and are cooking that food.
Yeah, I love that you highlight moments we might breeze past under kind of normal circumstances. And right now we have the opportunity to slow down, to think through the process and to experience it. This time of year, farmers markets are usually really starting up and giving us fresh produce. A lot of those are on hold or limited. What are ingredients that are good that we can fall back on right now?
Well, you know, I think there's you could become a member of a market of a farmers, and they deliver, you know, like a weekly. They deliver weekly a bundle of whatever it's in season. Springtime, now it's still a bit early here, but you know, the favas, the peas, the ramps are coming in, the scallions, all the young onions are in, the fresh salads, the beginning of the salads are in. So you know, all those beautiful green and delicious spring things, you know, spinach is really sweet and coming in. And then, of course, to supplement with that, I would always think of dried legumes. You know, they go good together. Dry beans, dry cecchi beans, lentils, dried favas. You know, even though we have fresh favas, dry favas are excellent. And a lot of these dry legumes, different all kinds of lentils, of barley, these can be all bought online. So they, you know, they can be delivered at your home. And then, you know, if you have those lentils, you get some carrots, some good celery. You don't, you know, if that you know, first of the season is not reaching your house yet, you can still make a good base, a good soup with celery, carrots, and some lentils. And, you know, a piece of maybe some smoked pork or a sausage or whatever. But that's a good base. So dried legumes and, you know, if you have access to this spring and fresh mushrooms, that's, you know, I love spring. I love foraging in spring, but we're not going anywhere. We're staying home.
Lydia Bastianich is a chef, restaurateur, author, and an Emmy-winning host of public television show It's Food Friday here on Central Time. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What question do you have about putting together foods that comfort your family? What ingredient is lurking in your pantry that you just don't know how to handle? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Lydia, let's talk about your country onion soup. It's one of the dishes that's pretty simple, can be made with things we probably have around the house. Tell us about the country onion soup recipe.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the spaces where you have lots of onions. And, you know, you saute it slowly, nice and easy, with olive oil. You could put some butter, but olive oil. I like to put in there 2 bay leaves just to give it some flavor. And, you know, but you need a substantial amount of onions because that's all basically it is. And if you have some stock, that's when these times are great times to put those chicken bones and all that kind of vegetables, the top of the celeries and the top of the leeks and all of that, and make yourself a good stock. So this onion country soup, saute the onions, put some good stock if you have vegetable or chicken stock. But if you don't have that, water will do. Yes, it won't be as intense in flavor, but it will do. And you let that kind of simmer, you season it with the salt and pepper, and then to finish it, and you don't make it very soupy, you make it, a little dense. And then you just take a piece of bread, and you put it, toasted, all bread. This is a good time to use all bread. So I would take this onion soup, and when it's kind of, not the onions are not completely broken, they still have some bite, the flavor is of the soup is good, you put them in little ramekins, and you can make this kind of precious-looking soup with almost nothing. You put on top of this soup a nice slice of country bread, top it, maybe a little bit of oil or a little bit of butter, grated cheese, and put the cheese as much as you have all over the soup and everything, and you put it in the oven to bake. And when the soup is perking, of course, and the cheese and all that gets crusty on top, you serve it, and it's a meal in itself. A nice, good glass of red wine, and you're okay.
The photo of it is stunning. We do have that recipe posted on our website. You can find that at WPR.org/FoodFriday. You know, some things are in the stores at times and out of the stores at times, but we have seen quite a bit of meat still in stores. And I have to tell you, about 20 years ago, my uncle caught an episode of your PBS show. At that point, he was convinced that Italian food was all pasta and pizza, and that's it. And he noticed you cooking this giant hunk of meat with roasted peppers and onions, and that really was a turning point, I think, for him with Italian cooking and meat. What kinds of meat should we be looking for that maybe we can use in different ways or we can really find some comfort in right now?
Well, I think, you know, long cooking techniques, I love those long cooking techniques, and they are really ideal for now being at home. And in most of the cases, you use a secondary cut of meat. You don't use the prime steak or the shell steak or whatever. You use like the ribeye, the round chuck meat, pieces of beef, but pork is great. The ribs, making the sauce, you know, cooking the sauce with tomatoes, onion tomatoes, and pork ribs makes a great sauce. You dress pasta, but you have all those ribs that fall off the bone with their delicious. Chicken also, you know, in different parts of chicken, you know, not just the chicken breast. Get chicken legs. Get chicken thighs. They're cheaper. They're better. I like to buy the whole chicken, and what I do is that I take the breast away, and if you buy like two chickens or three chickens, you get six breasts that you put away. Then you have six legs. So you have, if you have a family of six, you have one meal with the breast. You have another meal with all the legs. So the breast you can do with mushrooms and wine and whatever. The legs you can do a la cacciatore with peppers, onions, tomatoes, and mushrooms, and a little bit of rice next to it. And then I take the carcasses, and I make this big pot of soup. All the carcasses of that chicken that you took off the breast and all of that, you put in a big pot some onions, celery, carrots, leeks, whatever you have. I put some garlic in there. I put some pepper, whole pepper.
You mean like the whole black peppercorns you could toss
yeah,
in?
Yeah, peppercorns and all of that. And you know what I do? I save the cheese rinds from grana or from parmigiano. You know, you grind the cheese, you ground it, grate the cheese, and then the rinds, you wash them, and then you put them in the soup, and it makes a delicious soup. So you have here a big pot of soup. That's going to give you three meals in itself. And then you have the chicken breast, you have another meal. Then you have the chicken legs is another meal. So, you know, it's work that way. Sometimes I buy also chicken wings to make soup. If I, you know, okay, I'm not going to debone the chicken, all that. Buy chicken wings. They're not expensive, and they make a great soup. So, you know, look for the secondary cuts of meat and do the long cooking technique, whether it's braising, whether it's roasting, you know, because if the meat is a secondary cut usually is a little tougher, so it needs a longer cooking time. But I love to do those cooking times.
We're talking with chef and author Lydia Bastianich about the emotional value of cooking and some simple Italian meals that we can put together with ingredients in our pantry. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has cooking and sharing food with others helped you out during this past month or two? What do you think cooking does for us in these tough times? Share your story with us. Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. This conversation continues here on Central Time. You are listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Right now, we are talking with Lydia Bastianich, a chef and host of Lydia's Kitchen on public television. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you've been making in your kitchen. And maybe you have a question for Lydia about getting an Italian dish just right. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. And Jeff from Evansville is ready to join the conversation. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What do you have today?
Lydia, I'm in my garden right now. I've got a little patch of fresh, beautiful, young, tender, stinging nettle.
Oh, my God, Jeff. Thank you. That's great. What are you going to do with it?
So I'm going to just take the tips.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wash them real good, and then I'm going to take a little olive oil and some onion and some garlic, and I'm going to stir fry them, and then I'm going to finish them off with a little balsamic vinegar from Modena that we got the last time we were there.
All right.
And if I have any left over, I'm going to squeeze it out and either put it in an omelet. It's also beautiful on a pizza.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Jeff.
That's exciting. You know, you can make a risotto with it. You know, you kind of chop it very fine. It makes a great risotto. You can put it in a soup. You can make a great soup, some onions and leeks and nettles, and makes a great soup. Also, in making gnocchis, you know, the gnocchis, you chop the you put it actually in a processor, and you, with that you make nettles gnocchi. So there's many things, and if you have extra, you can collect it, blanch it, and freeze it, and then you can use it, you know, in days to come. Good luck.
Fascinating with those stinging nettles. Thanks so much for that, Jeff, for calling us at 800-642-1234 on this Food Friday. We also have Gail in Watertown. Hey, Gail.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I cooked a whole bunch of chicken breasts in the crock pot for 8 hours, and they didn't have moisture. It was all at the bottom, and they are so dry. What can I do with them?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, chicken breast, you know, you got to do quick cooking. The more you cook it, the tougher it gets. I think, you know, you can if you have a good soup, you can shred it, cut it small, shred it, and incorporate it into a soup. So you have a good base chicken soup, you shred the chicken, and in it put some of the carrots that you have from making the soup, or put some spinach leaves in the last minute, and let it cook together. And so you have this soupy chicken, spinach, carrot soup. The other way to do it is, you know, to make it into a salad with some, you have to moisten it up with some mayo or something like that. Chicken breast, you know, doesn't cook long. That's the one thing, you know, about chicken breast. It gets tougher. The more you cook it, the tougher it gets.
So about how long, Gail said about 8 hours she left it on, but how long, if you are trying to cook chicken slowly in something like a crock pot, would you want those chicken breasts to cook?
Well, crock pot is not ideal for chicken breasts. I would do chicken legs. You know, I wouldn't do a chicken breast is in a pan, sauteed quick. You can make it cook in a sauce, you know, like a pizzaiola sauce. And even if you do that, what you do with chicken breast, you sear them first, and then you take them out of the pot, and then you make your sauce, whether you want some onions, some tomatoes, some peppers, some mushroom, and you let the sauce cook, and then you reintroduce the chicken breast and let it finish cooking in there. But you don't overcook the chicken breast.
All right. Hopefully that helps Gail a little bit in determining what to do with what she's got. Lydia Bastianich is a chef, restaurateur, author, and a television host. It's Food Friday here on Central Time, and we are answering some of your questions at 800-642-1234. We are also talking about some of Lydia's recipes, including crepes with chocolate and walnuts. Lydia, what you've said about this is when you find flour in your pantry, make crepes. I love that. It's declarative.
Yes.
Do this.
Yes. It's easy. So crepes could be either a basis for a savory dish or a sweet dish. If you go in the sweet way, crepes are flour, some eggs, some melted butter, water, sugar, a little bit of sugar, salt, and a grated lemon if you go in the sweet route. But either way, if you go in the savory, just omit the sugar. So if you have them sweet, you make the crepes, you make them very thin, you fry them in a nonstick pan is the best, with just a little bit of brush it, a little butter, and make them very thin, and on both sides, nice and not crisp, but, you know, that they're on both sides, and then you spread them with melted chocolate or with jam, and you got yourself a delicious. I used to eat them when I was a kid all the time. If you want to do it savory, you make these crepes and you pile them up, and then you use them like pasta to make a lasagna. Instead of making pasta or boiling pasta, whatever, you use these crepes between your layers of cheese and ricotta and bolognese sauce. However you make your lasagna, you can make these with the crepes. Also, you can make like manicotti. You know, you take the crepe and you stuff it with ricotta, with some cheese, with some spinach, and you roll it like a long candle, and then you bake it like that next to each other. So it's like a manicotti. So crepe can be interchanged for pasta or turn into a dessert. Very versatile.
Some recipes feel like they go on for pages and pages. Yours really capitalize on a handful of simple ingredients. That doesn't seem to be a bad thing when it comes to how you recommend we treat food.
Well, no, I think that, but that's, you know, the Italian cooking is very simple. You have primary ingredients, good ones, the best you can get, four or five, you know, if a recipe has 10, 12 ingredients. You know, some of them do, of course, braising. But look for the short, especially if you're kind of skeptical, okay, am I going to cook, am I not? Look for the short recipes and follow them thoroughly, read them, and, you know, they work. Yeah. Simplicity is best in Italian cuisine, certainly.
And we should talk about one more recipe quick before we have to let you go, and that is spaghetti that you have with cheese and pepper. How does this one come together? Why is it special?
Cacio e pepe. Cacio e pepe is a very Roman dish. And do you know that tomatoes, of course, came to Italy after the discovery of the New World? So this pasta dish was way before the Romans, and they did it. They had sheep herders, so they had a lot of sheep around there, and of course sheep's cheese milk, pecorino romano, and the pasta, and so, you know, it was simple. You cooked the pasta, grated some great cheese, and when the pasta was cooked, still a little bit wet, you whisk the cheese in the pasta, in the wet pasta, until almost it formed a sauce. And then you put an abundant amount of black pepper, freshly ground, but coarsely ground. And this is cacio e pepe. This is what it's all about. The herdsmen used to make that all the time. You know, this is, they had the cheese.
Right.
They brought some pasta. And where they're out in the mountains with their herds, that's what they made.
Thank you so much. Lydia Bastianich is a chef restaurateur, author, and Emmy-winning host of Lydia's Kitchen on public television, and she was with us for Food Friday. You can find the recipes that we talked about online at wpr.org/foodfriday. Thanks for being with us on Central Time. It's the Ideas Network.